Men stand up this morning. Come on, don't be embarrassed, don't be shy. Young and old alike, when you know you're a man, a boy becoming a man. Some men are still boys. I just want to salute you and congratulate you that you're men that have staying the course, running the race, and doing a great job. Doesn't matter what anyone else is saying. You're still here. Amen. And God's got greater things for you ahead than what you could even imagine or believe. Amen. So can we just give them a round of applause this morning, these men? So, you may be seated. Thanks, guys. I've got a word, I believe, in Jesus. Oh, before I do that, men's breakfast, 17th of September. Price is $5. If you can't afford the $5, come and see me. I'll pray for you and lay hands on you and get you another job. All right? $5. Our guest speaker is Steve McCracken. He's a prophet, and it'll be at Encounter Church. We're joining them together with a few other churches. And we're going to have a mega men's meeting. Amen. So if you can get there, I would love you all to get there. And just let's be in fellowship and community together as men. Amen. There is, I think it's from about 15 up. So 15, kids that are 15 and up, more than welcome to come along. All right. If you need to know any more about it, you need to let me know the numbers because I have to do them by the 13th, I believe, or the 9th, I can't remember, of September. And I need to get them numbers in. So you see me after the church today. All right. So we're going to take up our tithes and offerings as part of our worship before the Lord this morning. We're not going to take them up. They're at the back. I'm not going to keep taking them up. I'm going to tell you, you've got to give your tithes and your offerings. But I'm going to leave that conviction to you. They're at the back. Amen. So, we'll leave it at that. If you want to give online, there it is there. And that is good. And I'm hurrying along because I've been given a time frame and I'm chewing into my time. The bags are at the back. All right? So, you give it the back whenever you want. Preferably not when I'm preaching. So, I want to talk to the men this morning. And it might be a bit of a challenge to you, but that's okay, men. Amen. I want us to turn to, I did have all the slides for you, but apparently I've sent them somewhere and it wasn't here. So you ain't going to get slides. No, you ain't going to get slides. You're going to have to get your Bible. You know this thing that we used to read, this book? Or you can get your phone or your iPad or whatever you get. I don't care what you get as long as it's got words of the Bible in them, and we're going to read. We're going to read from Joshua 4, verse 21 to 24. Joshua 4, verse 21 to 24. Who understands, as a father, it's one of the greatest responsibilities God's given man. Amen. Joshua 4, 21 to 24. We'll actually read from verse 20. Josh. What page number are you on, Josh? Here he is, chapter 4, 20. I've got these bifocal glasses, and I've got to keep going like that to read down the bottom. Silly things. Ready? And these 12 stones, which they took up out of the Jordan, Joshua said, set up in Gilgal. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. Verse 6, same description, but there's another part I want us to read. Verse 6 of chapter 4. I'll read from verse 5. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you shall take up a stone on his shoulder according to the numbers of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. I want you to hear this next line. When your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? What do these stones mean to you, Dad? The children will ask the question, what do these memorial stones mean to you, Dad? And as fathers, we need to build a memorial for our children. We need to build a memorial of what God has done in our life. We need to build a memorial not just of the good things God has done, but everything God has done. I need to build a memorial of his goodness in my salvation. I need to build a memorial that he was there in the heat of the day as they walked through the wilderness. He was there in the heat of the day and he covered them with a cloud. And sometimes in the day actually speaks of where you have the capacity, the ability to see. But when I have the capacity and the ability to see and I haven't done what I should have done, he still covers me. Or in my night hour, where he's the pillar of fire at night. And I can't see where I'm going. The only thing that can lead me is the fire of his spirit. And sometimes I might trip up in my night season, but he's still there to guide me to the next morning, because his mercies are new every morning. He's the God who never leaves me nor forsakes me. Notice the child didn't ask. Or the child's not going to ask the question, how come your ministry is so big or so small? He's not going to ask, how do you prophesy? He's not going to ask how great things you might desire and the fortune you might have made. No. All those things come and all those things can go. No, he's not going to ask that. He's going to ask this. What does it mean to you? So as a father, I've got to not minimize the goodness of God in my life. Because if it means little to me, it'll mean little to them. I've got to celebrate God's goodness all the time. In the night season, in the day season when I muck up, knowingly muck up. To him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is what? It's sin. But he's still there to lead me into another level with him, to show me mercy and grace. So with my children, I've got to demonstrate the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the acceptance of God. All the days of my life, they must be my memorial stones. They must be what I build in my life so they can look upon that and say, you know what? He's the same yesterday as he is today. He loves him. All right, Dad might muck up. All right, Dad might have faltered here. All right, Dad might have said the wrong thing there, but he gets up. He gets up. Amen. I need to make them memorial stones. As fathers, we need to build our memorial stones as a remembrance of his deliverance and his love toward us and our conversation, through my conversation and my actions. In other words, my mouth must speak things that are good, not blaming God for things that might be bad. Do you know, I'm shocked how many Christians blame God when things don't go well. But if he's a good God, he wants to do good things. And if he isn't giving me what I think I should need or think I want, it means I don't really need them. Otherwise, he'd give you them. Amen. He shall supply all my what? Not your wants. Your needs. Amen. So your testimony grows. Not just before men, but in your house. Your testimony has to work in your house before it can ever work outside your house. His desire is he's building family. He's building community. He's building family. Therefore, my mouth must represent him in not just what I like, but in everything about my life. I need to represent him in every facet of life, no matter what I feel like. And if I haven't got anything good to say, say nothing at all. Because sometimes in the dealings of God, and anyone who experienced the dealings of God, you know when he lets you go through your wilderness to grow us, to mature us, sometimes some things are best not said. So that when the day of our Lord stirs the hearts of our children and they come with the most asked question, and I've just had my nephew over for a week, you can hardly speak. And I'm thinking, and my brother, he's quite mature now. He had the baby quite late. God bless him. Round in patience, Jesus. But I'm thinking to myself, he's babbling his baby talk all the time, babbling his baby talk. A little word comes out now and then. And I said to myself, I tell you what, the first two words that he's going to probably speak, and it ain't mum and dad. Why? What? What is what? Why? But why? What and the why? And this is exactly what our children are looking at us. They want their what and their why answered. Why should I follow him? What's he all about? And the only representation of what he's all about is my reflection. It's gone a little bit quiet. Can I have a little amen? Can you squeak one out? The what and the why. The question that needs answering is not about the giftings or your prophecy or your destiny or your purpose in life or the amount of faith you've got. The greatest question he's really asking in that, the child, is about love. It's all about love. Because prophecies will fail. Faith will cease. There's only one thing in eternity that you will take with you. For God is what? You don't need faith in heaven. You don't need hope in heaven. But one thing you better be operating in heaven is love. Amen? All these other things are temporal. And they will cease. For that when that which is perfect has come, and that scripture in Corinthians is not talking about the Lord, it's talking about love. That which is in part is done away with. Hallelujah. So the answer should be about his goodness, his deliverance, his provision, his covering of the heat of the day. I just mentioned that. The heat of the day and the darkness of my night. He's there for me. He's there with me. Though I can't feel him, we sung the song. Though I can't see him, you're working. Though I can't feel you, you're working. He never stops. He never stops working. And guess what? He never stops working in your life and my life. He never stops. He never stops working. Sometimes I wish he'd send me on a holiday, but he never stops working. He will keep working in your life till that which is placed within you comes forth. till that which is placed within you will come forth. Amen. It's a question of love. It's these stones of love in a father's heart that the children are seeking an answer to. It's the love of the father, not his money, his love. Do you know there was a survey done by Hallmark? You know the card, gift card people? And so what they did on a Mother's Day, they said to the prisoners, who would like a Mother's Day card? And about 96% of them said, yes, please. And they said, we will pay for the postage, everything. You just write them. We won't even read them. You just write them. We will give you the card. 96% of that prison wrote Mum a Mother's Day card. Father's Day came. 2%. 2%. And that tells me there's been a missing father in the house. He might have been there present. He might have been there bringing money home and whatever, doing the manly duties. But the child's not so much seeking that. He's seeking love. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 21, 21. Book of Matthew 21, 21. We read this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings, at funerals. It's written on mugs. It's printed out in big placards around people's homes. You know, the love chapter. Matthew 13 has how many verses? Does anyone know? 13. Matthew 13, verse 13 says this. And the greatest... And these three things abide: faith, hope, and what? Yet the greatest of these is what? Now Matthew 21:21 says this: if you have the faith of a mustard seed, or you have the faith, and you speak to this mountain, be thou removed, it shall be what? Now faith can move a mountain, and love is greater than faith. If faith can move your mountain, and don't get me wrong, we need faith. We need to have faith. But sometimes I think we've missed it. Because faith and hope is really all about me. But love is about someone else. The greatest of these is love. God declares himself as love. So, faith can move a mountain. We so much so that we have in our church society movements that are built on what? Faith. They're called faith movement. The faith movement. And we have conferences and we have big meetings regarding vision and hope and purpose, delivering hopefulness. But I've never seen many conferences and meetings about love. And yet the greatest of these is because love gets your eyes off you. Amen. Faith is powerful. It can move a mountain. Faith is powerful enough. Hebrews 11 says, these things were created and the earth was fashioned and formed by faith. We have a faith chapter, you know, with Abraham, with Isaac, with Sarah, receiving strength to produce, all by faith. But love is greater. Love is greater. Love doesn't build a movement. Love reaches beyond dreams. Love reaches beyond people's purpose. Love is a bridge builder. Love will circumvent situations, sin, and circumstance. How do you know that, Pastor David? For God so loved it'll bypass. Amen. Paul turns the whole thing upside down in 1 Corinthians 13 and tells us that something is far greater than faith, something that can move a mountain, something greater than a dream, something greater than a vision statement, something greater that has been poured out in every believer's heart. Every believer has this love. For the Bible says in Romans, I believe chapter 5 says this, for the love of God has been shed abroad in where? Your heart. It is there. You've just got to, and I have just got to keep tapping into his love. Amen. Turn with me to Luke 15. We're going to see three people that have lost something. Three people lost something in Luke 15. For the sake of time, I'm going to paraphrase. In Luke 15, the man lost a sheep. The first one. The second one, the woman lost a gold coin. And the third one, the son lost his faith in relationship. He's talking family. Doesn't matter who in the family, man, woman, a child, we all have the capacity to lose something at some time. And it's not so much what they lost is what Jesus is really talking about. It's what they did to get back what they lost. The shepherd that lost his sheep would have had to walk down a different path to find the sheep, because the sheep would have kept going. All the sheep, the 99, went down the same path. It was a well-trodden path. He knew the way, but he got lost on the path and he went a different way. So he loved his sheep. So he had to get off the known path to go into the unknown areas to find the sheep. What he's saying is this: sometimes, just sometimes, the path I tread in love, and sometimes we get locked into that path. Well, if they do what they're told, then I will. Well, if they do this, then I will. Well, they should have done that. Oh, this should have happened. And what has to happen is sometimes I've got to get off my well-trodden path because they're not on that path. You've got to step out in another path to find them again and reach out to them in a different love, because that love on that well-trodden path ain't working. It ain't working. And this is a challenge to some of us, most of us, because normally we like to be in the path that we know. So we expect. But sometimes you've got to get off that path and you've got to reach out a different way. And if your path isn't working on that trodden path that's well known, change it. Get into that place where you can see them. Then you got the woman. She lost the gold coin. The man was willing to change. He lost his sheep. He was willing to change course and his thinking and the norm. Break the norm. Find his sheep. The woman lost the gold coin. It said that she searched her house for the gold coin. She swept the house and she learned the place on her knees to find her gold coin. One of the greatest advantages of a Christian that might have lost something or someone is to get into a place of prayer. And when she found the coin, she celebrated with all those friends around her. Can I have another 5 minutes? The prodigal son. The prodigal son. He leaves his father. He's the youngest son. So he was only entitled to a third, one third. The eldest son's entitled to two thirds of the inheritance. In fact, the father was very generous, because normally you only get an inheritance after there's a death. But he wanted it, so his father gave it to him. He laid waste to the what he was given. And here's another truth I want to chuck in. When you waste something that God has given you, you can have full restoration with him. But there will be a price of what you've lost. So the son gets into his head and says, I've lost everything. I want to come back. He says, I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than live like this. He must have known the memorial stones of his father's heart, because his father loved his servants enough for his son that was wayward to say, I want to be him, than live like this. In verse 20, it says this, that as the son was going back home, the father sees him afar off. The son had said in his head, when I get to him, I'll tell him that I've sinned against heaven and against him. The father runs to him. So the father's love beat the son's words. Because the son didn't get them words out before the father hugged him. And sometimes what we require in our love is we need want response before I give. He gave before he heard a response. I'm not saying love is easy. Love can be tough. Love can be a risk. But this is the Father's heart. He loved on him. He thought he was only good enough to be a servant, saying, I'm not worthy to be called a son. The father never said that to him. The father circumvented that through his love. It's not what he thinks about himself, it's what God says about himself. I'm going to say that again. It's not what you think about yourself, it's what God has said about you that matters. He gave him a robe of righteousness. He says, give him a robe. In other words, the father was quick to cover. Because love covers. He gave him a ring of reconciliation. He was quick to forgive. He gave him a kiss of love. The father was quick to restore. He gave him shoes. But before he could give him the shoes, he would have had to wash his feet. He washed his feet from the past paths. He covered him. His love covered him. Then he gave him a feast. A feast of fellowship. A feast of a place and a sense of belonging. He was family. He was family. Faith can't do that for you alone. Hope can't do that for you alone. But I tell you what can do that is love. Here's the dilemma. Even though it's shed abroad in my heart, even though God's placed a deposit of his love within me, because it's the first thing of the fruit of the Spirit, what I do, or I can do, is quantify and qualify it according to what I deem they should do. And sometimes we can act like the older brother. Do you know the older brother was twice as rich as his younger brother? Because he had 2/3. Do you know he had everything his father possessed? Because his father hadn't squandered it. In fact, it would have grown. Yet he couldn't go to the place of reconciliation. And though he was rich, materialistically, he was poor spiritually. Because he wouldn't forgive. He quantified and qualified his love. And as Christians, we can't afford to do that. Ever. If I need to see restoration, if I need, listen to me, this doesn't just happen as you get older. This is for life. If you're a parent, this is life. You got to get on the same page. You got to love on them. You got to get in that place where they mightn't be walking down that path, but you get to where they're at. What did Paul say? I became all things to all men, save not. He had the laws of the Lord. He wouldn't go beyond that, but he became all things to all men. In other words, if I have to get into their life, and I'm talking about my kids, I'm talking about kids now, I will get into their life. I will get into their life. Does it mean I partake of what they're doing? Of course not. But I will get into their life. And I will show them the memorial stones of love the Father has for me that then I have for them. They need to see the memorial stones. Dads, it's Father's Day. Being a dad, take nothing from ladies because it'll be Ladies' Day soon. It's even more, I applaud you. But right now, dads, he's asking you. It's not about how much faith you've got to move your mountain. It's good to demonstrate that, but that's not the importance of it. It's not how much you dream big and share your vision and your purpose. Oh, I've got a destiny, my purpose. That's good. But they ain't the primary importance. Faith, hope, and love abide. And the greatest of these is love. Can you move out of your well-trodden path? Can you bow the knee to find that loose coin? Can you see them afar off? And not wait for them to speak, but run and embrace them and just love on them without asking for an answer or a question or a reason or an excuse, but just love. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I tried to be quick. Hallelujah. I think one of the greatest keys in my life is never losing the focus on how much he loves me. Because I think the minute I lose focus, that beast in me can rise up and want vindication, revenge, want to cut them off, everything earthy. And every time he puts someone in my path that is tough to love, it's easy to love people that love you back. Bible says even tax collectors do that. That's the easy part. But I'm talking about those who struggle, who might be your sandpaper in life, that rub you up the wrong way. That rub you right up the. You know them sort of people? You can say yes. It's all right. We've all got them. Everyone's got one. Everyone's got one. At least one. But until. And God will go against your grain. until it smooths itself out and all them rough edges are gone. And when you think you've overcome, you say, well, Jesus, thank you, Lord, I've done it, I've beat it. He'll just bring someone else that will touch another facet of your wonderful life. So he can change you from a glory to a glory. Here a little, there a little. And if he does that, he's never given you any more than you can handle. And if you're secure in his love and your night season, you'll feel the warmth of his love. Amen. It's not about knowing the book. It's knowing the author of the book. That's important. And you have not got no reason to say, I can't love. It's a lie. Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Romans 5, 5. Thank you, Concordance. Do you love him? I'm going to say it again. Do you love him? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. You know, the Bible's really not rocket science at all. The biggest issue is we bat our heads against his will and make it tough. If you're here this morning and you might have some fractured stuff in your life, you might have kids that aren't in the place they should be. You might have family disconnected. Am I going to keep walking down the same path? Am I going to get off that path and look and find them? Does it mean they're going to be a Christian? No. Can't guarantee that. But one thing I can guarantee, there'll be no animosity or schism or division. And that's all you want. Demonstration of his love. Amen. You got kids? Build your memorial stones. Build them. Don't let them just hear about all the whoopee-doo and the froth and the bubble. Let them see it in life. Amen. Every eye closed, every head bowed this morning. Love is a risk. I'm going to say that again. Love is a risk. But if you know him and you remind yourself of the love he has for you, it's the greatest step you can take in your life. Because he'll honor you. If there's anything in your house that might be fractured, anything at all, and you want him to intervene, he'll use you. I want you to lift up your hands before the Lord this morning because he will equip you with the grace to do. Father, 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 you see our hands raised this morning. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. We want our families whole. We want to be a man of a different spirit like Joshua, yet for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Lord, we cannot do this in our own strength or our own might. We need a deposit of your grace this morning. Lord, help me. Help me to see as you see. Help me to reach out. Help me to not walk down the same old path expecting a different result. Help me. Help me to be on my knee. Help me. Help me to embrace that which is lost without question or doubt and clothe them in the things of the Spirit. Help me. Father, this morning, Lord, we receive by faith that grace that we will see change in our house. We will see change in them relationships. We will see change, Father, in the atmosphere. We will see healing in our homes. We will see healing in our relationships. And we thank you today as a day, Father, of new beginnings for me and my house. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 He's a good God. So when you face your battle, he's a good God. When you're facing your fear, he's a good God. And he'll walk and work everything out together for my good in Jesus' name. Let's pray for our food and some fellowship. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the revelation of your word. Lord, we just don't want to be hearers only, but we want to be doers of it. We want to be that salt and that light. Lord, we want to be, Father, people that have been built as memorial stones. So, Father, today we ask you to bless our fellowship, bless our company. Bless, Father, our in and our out today when we go to family and we meet with their children or whatever. And, Lord, bless the food that is before us this day in the name of Jesus, that we want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the honor. And I want to give you all my praise in the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Have a great day, fathers, in Jesus' name.